Welcome to Down the Garden Path. I'm your host, Joanne Shaw, landscape designer and plant lover. I enjoy discussing down-to-earth tips and advice to help you seasonally manage your garden and landscape. And I also aim to bring you interesting and relevant topics to educate you all about the landscaping and horticultural industry. Back to Down the Garden Path podcast. I'm so happy you're here with me today. And I'm also happy that Katie DeBow is back, our past guest on the show. You'll remember her as the president of Garden Media Group, a woman-owned and run public relations firm specializing in the home and garden industry and celebrating their 36th year in business. Author of the annual Garden Trends Report, she travels the world scouting and presenting garden trends to audiences from Italy to Chicago. And today we are going to talk about new plants and products for spring of 2024. Welcome to the show, Katie.
Thanks, Joanne. It's so good to be back.
So 2024, what were some exciting things that you wanted to talk about today?
Well, you know, what I see, it's interesting because all your listeners are gardeners, but outside of our industry, I don't know how many people realize that new plants are being released every year. And so I tell my friends this year, I finally started saying it's like the spring runway shows, the fashion shows. You know, there's new things they have out, and our winter is really our runway season. You know, we've got these many, many trade shows from Europe to California to Canada, all over the world, where people are revealing these new plants. You know, some of them become big stars. Some of them just don't ever make it really past the growers' tables. And so what I really thought would be fun to do is highlight some of those ones that we think are going to be big hits. And as you said, we're really into trends. Some of the ones we see that are coming out new this year that will impact trends next year and beyond.
Excellent.
So one of the things we can start with, well, maybe we don't start with plants, Joanne. What do you think? Maybe we'll start with a trend that we're seeing and new products that are coming out associated with it. And that is foraging, but for flowers. So have you ever been foraging for food before?
No, but I know what you mean. Like, yes. Well, sometimes, you know, when I visit clients, I take the mulberries off the mulberry bush and, you know.
I know. I'm always afraid to do the mushrooms because I'm like, I know that's a chicken of the woods, but am I sure it's a chicken of the woods?
Yes. Mulberries and raspberries tend to be pretty safe, right?
I know that it has become the food foraging was a trend about 10 years ago. So that's something that you see now. Local botanic gardens are hosting walks, and it's something that became really big. But what this new company, they're called Oasis Forage Products, and they have a new line of products that help give people the confidence to forage flowers. And one of the things that they found in their research was that people might be avid gardeners, but their confidence in cutting from their gardens and bringing it inside is really low. And we both know it's such a joy to garden outside. Yeah. It brings us all the mental health I could ever need is found when I'm digging in that dirt. But I have also experienced the Pinterest versus reality where I cut stems from my, you know, dahlias are the best example. I'm making the most gorgeous dahlia bouquet today. I go out and I cut them, put them in a vase, and they look like nothing like the Pinterest picture. And so it's a little bit. And so this new set, what Oasis has put together is a container, and they put some snips, some twine, so you can go out and forage, and some foam for you to put in your container. And they give you lessons on how to seek, how to go out and what to look for, how to prep your container. They say you need like our spiller, thriller, filler container model. It's the same thing in a vase. Okay.
Like arranging flowers, but I have to say I like arrangements where it's all the same flower. I'm not a mixed girl. I love them all to be the same, so I don't know why, but I've always liked that.
I like that with certain flowers, like sunflowers. I think like a huge bouquet of sunflowers is so pretty. So anyway, it's the seek, prep, and create, and I think that this practice will help pull some of those new gardeners in particular, because a lot of my friends will say, oh, wait, I can cut from my, like, yes, you can. So
Yeah.
it's going to give people that confidence to grow, the enjoyment both indoors and out. And we see that this is going to be a big trend for people to get them to grow more. You know, they'll realize, oh, I can cut, and actually it'll help the plant bloom more and grow more. And then they'll just have more to grow in the hobby.
Oh, that's great. And to experiment, right? Because I know there's some plants that might not do well, but you don't know until you try, right?
Exactly.
Oh,
Exactly.
that's good.
Yep,
That's great. And
totally.
maybe more people will do like things like cutting gardens, like
We think so. We hope so. Especially, I think bulb flowers, you see what's, you know, it's the trends coming out of Holland and out of Europe, and the popularity of cutting our summer blooming bulbs. So I think more cutting gardens we're going to see coming down the pipeline. I know I'm growing one this year,
Oh,
so
good. Good. Yeah, I
yeah.
am thinking that too. I'm planning on one as well with and cutting back on vegetables a little bit and doing some zinnias and yeah. Oh, that's
Too.
great. Well, that is a good trend, and I think that's really great for our listeners to know that that's something like that out there, and that it is a good idea. Save money, right, too, by bringing your flowers inside.
And bring more joy to yourself. So,
For sure. For sure. For
but
sure.
that's another new product we're looking at, and it makes a great cut flower too, but our roses. So
Yeah.
there's a lot of new roses that are hitting the market this spring, and we, you know, it's hard to pick from all of them, but we wanted to
Okay.
highlight a few. And the first is the Knockout. Go figure.
Okay.
Do you know what anniversary the Knockout celebrates next year?
No, it's been around a while though.
A while,
20?
25.
25.
25 years. So they're celebrating 25 years. And so they've released two new roses in honor of that celebration. And one is called Easy Beasy. It's yellow. And it
Oh.
is not just. So they have a rose now called Sunny, and it's a very pale yellow. This is
Okay.
a gold lemon yellow, really fun. It's a single petal one. The reason they call it Easy Beasy is because of that single petal. So some of their doubles are not as easy to get to the
Yeah.
pollen. So it's going to be a good pollinator attractor. And like all knockouts, hardy down to zone four. So,
Oh, good. Okay.
yep. And then their second one is called Orange Glow Knockout. And that one is more of a terracotta orange. It's a beautiful, beautiful color that kind of evolves into a coral, a pink, and then gets more of that deeper color as it ages.
Oh.
So really, really pretty. Two new knockouts.
Yeah, I love that when the colors transition, in the garden, that really adds something. You know, almost like every rose on the shrub is a slightly different color.
I love that too, and our hydrangeas do that, and again makes fun cut flowers. It's like, how
Yeah.
many roses did you just cut from? Just one, but they're all
Yes.
different hues.
Yeah. And the knockouts are very easy to grow and very disease resistant and hardy, of course.
A couple more roses. So are you familiar with the brand Jackson and Perkins?
No, I'm not.
So they've been around since the 1800s, and they were one, you know, an original breeder of roses that they
Okay.
did many years, for 100 years. And then but, you know, just as things happen, they got away from the actual breeding and introducing new varieties. But this year they've decided they want to get back into it. And so
Oh.
they've spent the last couple of years hunting for some new roses out of Europe. And so they have some exclusive varieties. And they're it's interesting because if you love roses, you need to keep your eye on them, because they have something called the Vault. And they're not only releasing new roses, but they're pulling out roses that didn't get as, you know, have kind of just fallen out of people's gardens and of the stores.
Okay.
And so one of the examples of those is the Ronald Reagan rose, which has sold out, but they found it in someone's garden. And they've been able to bring it back from breeding and bring back these new roses, but make them disease resistant, you know, all the great qualities of new roses, but some from the vault. So we're excited about that program. But one exclusive that is available that I am super excited about is called Big Ben. And it's more of a climbing rose, and it features these beautiful, massively petaled flowers that are
Okay.
creamy pink. And so for me, I'm looking for these problem solver roses that can, you know, go up, go vertical. Because I don't know about you, but we have a lot of space in
Yeah.
the ground anymore. So and that was actually one of our trends this year, was hanging gardens. So helping people maximize the space.
Yeah.
You and I were just talking about this, about
Yeah.
walled gardens on the wall. So I'm really excited about Big Ben because of its disease resistance, but also because it is such a performer in the way that it flowers.
Oh, good, good. So it's a vigorous grower. Do you know much about the growth habit?
Very vigorous grower. Yep, can grow up to
Good.
10 feet. So it's going to
Okay.
be one of those that, will you get 10 feet in your first season? Probably not, but you definitely get flowers.
Yeah. But you let you, you people like to know that they don't want to wait 5 years for it to get
Yeah.
there, right? And I know, and I have a perfect spot for that because I have an area where I've been trying to get vines. I've tried different things and everything's taken its time. So, and you made me think, a climbing rose might be the solution there. So, yeah.
Especially in our climates where the summer heat doesn't kind of make them pause. My roses bloom all summer long.
Oh.
So
Yeah.
Big Ben will do
Yeah,
that.
I've been a fan of the carpet roses, and same thing. They just do such a great job. And really, I've got the coral, and everybody like walking by is like, "What in the world?" They don't even realize it's a rose, because it's shorter and smaller, and the flowers, and it's such a pretty color. So yes. Oh,
Oh,
great.
I love that. And talk about a problem solver, like you still have to weed it a little bit, but having that dense growth that flowers is
Yeah,
a bonus.
it really is. It really is. For sure. No, that this is great. And it's nice to kind of talk about roses. They kind of, they're always there in the background, but they come and go, don't they?
They
But
do.
it is true that people forget that there are so many new varieties every year. And so that is good to know to watch out for our garden centers because they still grow sell out,
Yep.
So new
And they're
gardeners,
definitely,
need to know about them.
yeah, I think they're making a comeback. I think hydrangeas overtook as America's favorite flower, but I think they're making a comeback.
Yeah, I have a little joke because we were both talking about the amount of rain. So a couple of days ago, it rained and rained and rained, and so I put up a little joke about like, do I have an arc? And I said, do I have to start designing arcs? Like it's really raining, and my girlfriend, a fellow gardener, said, make sure you take two hydrangeas and two, like she listed all the plants, and I'm like, oh, and I responded, I'm going, oh my gosh, there'd be more than two hydrangeas. There's so many hydrangeas, right? So I'm like, instead of animals, she's like, make sure you take all the plants, kind of thing. So I thought that was funny.
Funny. That is really funny. I love it. Yeah, I know it's been raining, but April showers, they're
That's
going to break
right.
out, right? Well,
Tell
the
me about
next,
these azaleas.
so we are really excited about azaleas. And azaleas do have a shorter zone growing opportunity, but some of them can go down to six. So that could be potential for some of your listeners. I know you have listeners all over the world,
Yeah,
but maybe you haven't tried azaleas because you thought they didn't work in your zone. But in particular, I look around here and they're in bloom now for me here. But you may have heard of the Encore Azalea. It's a pretty famous azalea. It's been around since the
okay.
80s. It was developed by a man named Buddy Lee. And since then, he's developed hundreds of other varieties. So they release new varieties each year. And this one this year is so incredible. So the Encore doesn't just bloom in spring, hence the name Encore. Unlike other azaleas, it will also bloom in fall. And so they have names like they give them the autumn name, but this new one this year is called Autumn Moonstruck. And it has stable variegated foliage. So they have had azaleas before that have a variegation, and then over time it'll revert back. So this is a stable variegated foliage, and it is just like golden. It is so beautiful, and which is really neat too in fall because this is blooming this white bloom, which is why it's called Moonstruck. It's these crisp white blooms with these shades of gold in the leaves, and they are stunning in spring. But when they are blooming in fall, it is kind of one of those, like you said, with the carpet rose. What is that flower blooming this that has those golden leaves and the white flowers? So it's beautiful.
Oh, wow. Now, what zone is that one?
So that one is 7A, but all the way up to 10B. So for warmer climate folks, that one will really thrive.
But there are other Encore ones that are available, more zone 5 and 6?
Yes, there are other Encore ones that go down hardier zones. So look those up. And obviously, we love our local garden centers. If they're carrying it, it probably means you can grow it.
Exactly. So that's a good. So shout out to Encore Azaleas, because that is nice to have something that repeat blooms, you know, that really kind of like the bloomerang, you know. It's just it always is an extra treat for somebody, especially when you don't have a lot of space. I love things that do two things, you know, spring
Me too.
flower, fall foliage. Like, you want the biggest bang for your buck.
Absolutely. Agreed.
That is good. What else do you have for us today?
So we've got a new pollinator plant. You know, there's tons out there, but
Yeah.
this is something that when we talk about trends, gardening for pollinators is not a trend. It is a shift. So it has happened. We have shifted. People are aware who are not even into gardening. They are aware of the moniker that one in three bites of food, you know, is here by a pollinator. My kids know, you know, that is something that's so cool that has become mainstream. So I think we're still working on gardeners to make sure that they're putting in non-invasives and even more than that, native plants. And so there's a new bee balm out that is a Monarda that's called Balmy. And this series of Balmy is disease resistant. So I, you know, the bee balm in the past gets that downy mildew and it's just covered. So it's disease resistant, but it's also petite. So it only grows to be about 12 inches tall. So it's perfect for containers, for the border, and they have a bunch of colors, lilac, pink, white. So it's really fun. You can pop it in containers and it still has those beautiful big flowers. The flowers aren't small, those firework flowers. And this one is from Jackson and Perkins. And of course, you know, all of our pollinators love it. And if you haven't a pollinator garden, you can pop this in the front border.
Okay, perfect. Where are you? I mean, the challenge with I'm finding with pollinators as a pollinator plants as a landscape designer and native plants, like, it's becoming almost as popular as it is and as well known as it is, it's starting to get a little bit overzealous, I think. You know, like, in the sense that, you know, I was speaking with my last podcast from Gardens Plus, Dawn Gollaher, and she was saying she's having customers come and said their daughter said to take all their plants out of their garden and only plant natives. And she's like, no, you know, she'd been a longtime customer. She'd come to her for years for plants, you know, and echinaceas and bee balms and things that, you know. So she said, you know, there still is that education element that it doesn't mean that the non-natives are, you know, certainly the invasives, you know, that is clear, right? But if you have an established garden and, you know, catmint, nepeta, like, that is a huge pollinator for me. It's not native, but I have a lot of it and I have a lot of bees. So I think there's still some re-education there. Have you found that in your neck of the woods? Like,
So Doug Tallamy, who I think is like the,
yes.
you know, big speaker on this, he even says 80-20 is his. So it's like, you know, if he's saying 80-20, I agree. There is an interesting article that was written last year by Alan Armitage, who's a professor out of University of Georgia, and he said, not all pollinator plants are native. All native plants are pollinator plants, but we need to make sure we're educating people that there can be amazing, nutritious pollinator plants. And that's where I'm curious. I was talking about this last week about the nutrition study on
Oh,
how much
okay.
plants have in, you know, is it like eating a bag of Cheetos or like eating a kale salad for a bug? Which, so, because some of our pollinator plants have more nutrition than others. So I think that's too complicated for the layman, but
Yeah.
for I would be curious to know more about that. So I'm looking into that with the National Wildlife Federation. But I
Okay.
agree. I think you're right, is that people have this, we have this all or nothing kind of
Yeah.
attitude where it's like, well, we want to do our part. So I'm going to get rid of my entire lawn and I'm going to rip
Yeah.
out my plants. Well, you don't have to do that.
Right.
And even a container, the studies show that even just one container will attract wildlife to your garden within days, within days.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, I think that's really important, because I know people want low, like, in addition to the pollinator and helping the bees and wildlife, you know, they still want seasonal gardens. They want it to look good in all seasons. With native plants is tricky, right? Spring and fall are pretty good for native plants, but the summer can be, a little bit tricky. And they want low maintenance, and some of the native plants aren't necessarily low maintenance either, right? So I think that education component is really huge. And I'd be curious to know how valuable. I mean, I think that my Roseanne geranium, my catmint are valuable in my garden. Like roses are valuable in our gardens, right? We know the bees come to them. Japanese anemone, oh my goodness, right? They dance around in those. Even my husband was like, "What is wrong? What is in that plant that the bees are frolicking like crazy, So, I think it all it's not a black and white thing. It really needs to work together. And I think that's also where it's important to talk to, and I always feel bad because I know I'm talking about myself, but like talking to a professional and talking and getting advice, from someone who's gone to school for it. And I mean, I know garden to gardener, we can give some advice, but it's really, really understanding that. So, I'd be curious to know that what the is it Fritos? I mean, I can't see it being Fritos, or it's still a bad thing. I don't know what my catmint is doing, but
I can't imagine either. I mean, why would they flock to it? They're animals. They're not like us. Their survival depends on what they eat. So, I mean, we both are planting zinnias this year, and that's an annual. We know that's not a native. So, but the pollinators go crazy for zinnias. So, what is there? So, I will report back on that. But I think it's interesting. It's something to definitely know that. Even just one or two plants, you're doing your part. You don't have to change out your whole garden.
Yes, no changes. So great. We get that message out there. No ripping out the hydrangeas. They're still okay. Although I did notice my oak leaf hydrangea. A lot of pollinators, and I hadn't really paid attention, And I think that's another lesson too for our listeners is pay attention. Because you would be surprised, somebody might be thinking, oh no, I don't have any natives, or I don't know. Well, if you're out there and paying attention, you will be surprised, and you can really see what plants like, what insects like what plants. So.
And sometimes I even shop the garden center that way. If I'm there in a sunny day, I'll see which plants are the bees all over, the salvias, and where are they in the garden center and where are they not? And those are the ones that I want to take home. And those, you're right, they're not always native.
That's good. That is good. Well, that I'm sure it's going to be a while before that leaves, I think, as it well, like you said, it's not really a trend, it's a shift.
And we're excited about that. We want people to be gardening for wildlife. And we, I think that we have educated people to know about honeybees and the decline in honeybees. But I think it evolves to help people understand about caterpillars and the need for caterpillars. So maybe they have to munch on your plants. So they turn into the butterflies and the birds can eat them as food. So I think the education, I know my mom put in a native garden in Florida when she moved to Florida, and her neighbors were like, "Your caterpillars are all over your plants. They're eating all the leaves. Isn't that hideous? Why would you do that?" And she's like, "I know, it's great. This is great. I want the caterpillars to eat the leaves because it supports the full cycle." So I think there is something to be said for that education component.
Yeah, and that goes back to Doug Tallamy too. I've seen him present, and the birds that are disappearing and the insects. I did a presentation once myself with the slide. Like I can remember driving to my grandma's house at night or home, and as a kid, and my the bugs all over the windshield. Where our kids have never seen that really. So we've lost a lot of. So the bugs are important, which and then also I always preaching about not cleaning up your garden in the fall and not cleaning it up too early in the spring. Really, and that's I think also part of the shift, isn't it? To just really get that putting the garden to bed mentality. It doesn't need to be cleaned and vacuumed. It's okay.
Yes, I love that. I know. I was out there last month. Eager look, it was a warm day. I was
I
looking
know.
around some of the stalks for my hibiscus and like, oh, let me get my pruning shears. I was like, why? It'll be back to cold tomorrow. I won't be out here. I don't need to do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. But I know it's tempting.
Yeah, it is so tempting. And soon as one neighbor starts, right? It's like, oh, I've got to keep up with him. It's garden, like, no, it's okay. It's all right. Oh my gosh. So anything else new?
Well, so one more plant that I want to talk about, and it's an interesting one. It's a yucca, so it's also going to be more of a warm, hardy plant.
Okay.
But this new yucca is called Nice and Easy, and it's from the Southern Living Plant Collection. And interestingly, this is a plant that provides resources for night pollinators. So
Really?
it's one of those that is entirely dependent on a nocturnal moth for pollination. So it's called the yucca moth. So go figure. You know, we've got these symbiotic relationships between our pollinators and our plants. And I was just listening to another podcast about the ruby-throated hummingbird and how when the ruby-throated hummingbird is doing the migration, it cardinal flowers are blooming at the exact same time. And so we have these beautiful symbiotic relationships, and between the yucca moth and the yucca is one. And so this Nice and Easy variety, back to that stable variegation, it's not your typical yucca, but it
Okay.
has a beautiful white stripe right up the middle. So it's one of those that is also not very sharp. You know, you guys can grow other yucca, but it doesn't have those very sword-like leaves. It has more of a draping habit, so it looks very unusual in the garden.
Okay. And what do you know the zone?
It's zones 8 through 10, 8 through
Oh.
11. So we grow it as an annual.
Okay. Like purple fountain grass and stuff. Yeah. Okay. We can grow it as an annual. But that sounds like it would be a very nice thriller in the middle, right? Where we go back to the spiller, thriller, and filler.
Be perfect.
Excellent. Excellent. I wonder if you could even overwinter it inside, like kind of almost treat it like a house plant.
You absolutely can.
Perhaps.
Yes. Yep. I've tried that with a few of the Southern Living plants. Senecio is another one. Have you grown those?
No, I have not.
I've pulled them indoors because I've been on a big silver plant kick lately.
Oh, okay.
So I want, and most of those plants tend to be, they're very drought tolerant, but higher, warmer zones than mine.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, well, that
So
is great. So is that our last plant that you want to talk about?
on the one edible on the list that I wanted
Oh.
to touch on. Yep.
Okay.
So Seed has a collection of plants called the Whoppers. And so that doesn't necessarily mean they're big. Like I think of a Mac, right? When you hear Whopper, or
Burger
a
King, yeah.
McDonald's, Burger King advertising. But you think of a big sandwich, but in this case, it just means it's going to give you a lot of fruit. And so they have a new cherry tomato Whopper. So
Ooh.
it is a tomato that, of course, cherry tomatoes produce a lot of fruit, but it tastes like a beefsteak. It is the most interesting flavor. I'm a huge cherry tomato fan, to be honest. I don't love them in salads. I don't love the very high acidic flavor. But this tomato has more of a beefsteak flavor. Now I'm growing it. They say it has a beefsteak flavor. It's brand new, so I haven't tasted it yet. But I'm really excited to have that different flavor profile in a tomato and a cherry tomato.
That is great. Yeah, and I'm the opposite. I prefer the cherry tomatoes and the grape tomatoes. Isn't that funny? Well, and but they're so much easier to roast, right? And so, with some garlic and olive oil and but and it is nice to just have like a berry, except it produces all they tend to produce all summer so that you can just eat them off the tomato. So that's interesting. So I'll look for that and see if we have that here in Ontario. That'll be interesting.
Cherry Whopper.
Yeah.
And that's the last plant. I have one more product that I wanted to bring up. It's brand new, and it is back to supporting those healthy environments. You know, I think a lot of people are understanding they want to use less pesticides and herbicides. But some of our plants, you know, they need that extra support. And so there's a product called Harvest Gold. And it is made out of gold mine tailings out in the western part of the United States.
Really?
They kind of have just ravaged, you know, the West and looked for gold and then left these mines, these defunct mines where people kind of turned them into trash dumps, really.
Oh
And
no.
so this company has reclaimed this mine, and it's, according to them, they've turned it into a five-star hotel. But, you know, they joke. They're like, well, what it was, it's much better. And now they're able to use what was left behind, some of that trash and those the silica, really, and create this soil conditioner called Harvest Gold Organics. It's OMRI certified organic. You sprinkle it in your containers, you put it in your garden beds, you can use it on your lawn, your trees, your shrubs, and
Really?
it's a lot like biochar. So it has these water and fertilizer holding capabilities. that it sucks up all of that and it releases it naturally, all naturally. You know, it will suck up the water and release it naturally when the plant needs it. So you don't have to put chemical additives. You don't have to, you know, water during periods of a drought. It extends your plant's life. And so I'm super excited about the potential for this when spread on lawns. Now we don't have to over-fertilize our lawns. We don't have to be watering our lawns, which is not a big problem, you know, for the two of us where we live. We get plenty of rain, but for those people who don't live in climates where they get a lot of rain, it's a problem. And so now you can use a product like this that's organic. It's coming from the ground. It's being reclaimed, and it has that silica, but it also has eight other essential plant minerals. So it really is promoting more resilience and reducing your maintenance. So it's just making it easier.
Right. And people like that for sure.
Yeah.
And it is kind of like a nice story to say that it's reclaiming and reusing something that was, you know, historically not usable. So, you know, reclaiming that land. Interesting that they would, and I love the innovation too. I'm like geeking out on it, you know, that someone would even put the two and two together. So.
I know.
Gosh.
Really, I'm really, when I heard about what they were doing from an environmental perspective, I was very excited. But then that it would actually have this effect in our soil, in our plants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is great. And organic and reclaimed. So that is wonderful. So we'll look for that here in Canada as well. So it always takes a little bit of time, right, to get some of the U.S. products here, and sometimes vice versa, right? But so that is great. What a list you've given us today.
Well, it's fun, and it's fun to keep your eyes on the new things. But I think it's important. You and I both have, you know, our favorite tried and trues, and it's like we talked about with natives. Don't go out and replace your whole garden. If you have roses you love already, you keep on working with those roses. You know,
that's
I think
right.
Add something new, but also remember that, you know, our gardens are ever changing, and stick with what you love. Talk to professionals about adding some new plants first to make sure that they're the right fit. You know, right plant, right place is really important.
Yes, exactly. And just to bring up the Garden Trends report, you are researching for 2025, and you had a message for our listeners.
Yes, we are right in the middle of doing our collecting of information. And so if anybody has anything they are seeing out there that they think is something worthy of, like, pollinators, a trend that we want to see a shift, that's what we really want to report on. You know, those are the things we love to see, is what do we see that's something that is happening today, but that will affect the way that people garden and interact with plants in the future. And, but that's a lot of pressure. Even if you just see something that you think is cool, let us know. Let us know. Trends@gardenmediagroup.com is the email address.
Okay.
Anything that you're seeing, we're open to it. And of course, if you do, and if it does get picked for the report, we give you all the credit.
Oh, wonderful. Well, that is good to know. And it's always good, especially anybody who's traveling, and or even in your home community, you might notice something at your garden club that's happening. So I know I'm racking my brain to think of a few things as well. So shout out to our listeners to kind of take a look at what you think might be a new trend for next year, or something you've always wanted to do. So that is wonderful. So I'm so glad you can join us. And I know weather has been so up and down for March and April so far, that people are just really itching for spring. So it's nice to hear about some new things that they can start looking for their yard and their garden. So thank you so much for joining me here today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And I'll have to come back next year to report on those trends that your listeners told us about.
Absolutely. So thanks again, everyone, for joining us here on Down the Garden Path. If you need help with your garden and knowing what to do when in your garden, then please remember to check out my book, Down the Garden Path, A Step-by-Step Guide to Your Ontario Garden, which gives you timely tips on how to help you maintain your garden. So you can check that out on, it's available on Amazon. And it'll, of course, be in the show notes. So thank you again, Katie, and thank you, everybody, for joining me down the garden path.
Thanks, Joanne.